Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight is Saturday, September 26th, 2015. And I'm so blessed you joined me tonight at nobetterway.net. And we are being heard on blogtalkradio.com. The title of tonight's show is Let Not Your Hearts Be Troubled. And tonight's Bible focus verses are from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Amen. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is telling us that we need not worry. Don't be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus. He is with us. He loves us, and he will carry us through our battles, through our tribulations, our sorrows, our failures, our sinful lives. Yes, Jesus is our Savior. He can move mountains. He can heal the sick. He can raise the dead, cast out demons, and he forgives us our sins. He loves us so much. A couple of months ago, I read a poem, and it was from a friend of mine down in Texas, Casey. And I want to read this. It just brilliant, brilliant words. It reads, "At my lowest, God is my hope. At my darkest, God is my light. At my weakest, God is my strength. At my saddest, God is my comforter." Amen. So thank you, Casey, for that poem you sent a couple months ago. And it's such a sweet poem describing our Lord, who he is, how faithful he is. He is with us at our most desperate times. And when Jesus says in John chapter 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Jesus is comforting his disciples, and he's also comforting us. Jesus loves his disciples, and he loves us dearly so much that he went to the cross. He is the Lamb of God. He was the perfect sacrifice that would pay for the sins of the world. And our beautiful Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice that would pay for the sins of the world, and our beautiful Lamb of God, our Jesus, tells his followers that we should not let our hearts be troubled. He was giving his disciples, and he's giving us a blessed assurance. Jesus was telling all faithful believers, don't worry, I have you covered. Trust in me. I go to prepare a place in heaven for all of you. But in the meantime, as you live your lives for Jesus, as you follow him, as you follow Jesus, the only way, as it says in John 14:6, where Jesus says, after Thomas asked him, how are we to know the way? And Jesus replied, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. So, you know, Allah and the way of Allah, Buddha, Gandhi, or whatever professed way that men have come to earth and have said, this is the way to heaven. This is how you can earn your way in heaven. No, it's only through faith in Jesus. That's the only way, folks. And that's what I'm here to tell you. And That is God's word, God's spoken word. And many preachers say if there were 25 ways to heaven, 25 ways to the Father, they'd preach it. But just as Jesus says in John 14:6, there is only one way. And so Jesus tells his disciples, as we read in John 14, that he was going to leave soon. He also tells us that as long as we follow Jesus, our hearts need not be troubled. Jesus tells his disciples, he tells us, and he also tells us that he will not leave us weak and powerless. No, he has given us a beautiful gift. He has given us the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia. And in John 14, verses 15 through 18, it reads, "If you love me, you obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Again, I'll repeat those precious words. "But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Amen. I say that's pretty awesome. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. Jesus is saying, you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And you know, we have power. We have Holy Spirit power that moves us. The Spirit transforms us to live in the will of the Father, to live for Jesus, to share the gospel, the good news, to love others to Jesus. That same Holy Spirit that swept through the early church in Jerusalem on Pentecost Sunday, that Holy Spirit that moved Peter, yes, Peter, who loved Jesus dearly, but he denied him three times after Jesus was arrested. That same Peter, after Pentecost, he was on fire for Jesus, and he preached in a way empowered by the Holy Spirit, and thousands came to faith in Jesus as their Savior. And that same Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, is available to us. And to that, I say, praise God. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 reads, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you," again, I'll read that again, "and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." Amen. So my dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we have been given a wonderful gift. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life, and we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, our Counselor, our Spirit of Truth, that empowers us as we live our lives for Jesus in his will forever and ever. And to that I say amen. And let me read the words of Jesus in John, these encouraging words in John chapter 16, verse 33. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Amen. All right, folks. At that, I'll take a little break, and we'll play the first song. And that song is "Whom Shall I Fear?" I hope you enjoy.
Cannot hide the light. Who shall
Father, right? The God of angel armies, he is at our side to protect us, to care for us. Not saying that things don't happen to us, but he is there. And I like what the singer says, I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. Amen. God is faithful. His word is true, right? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. His words are always true. We can lean on God's promises. Amen. And the title of tonight's show, Let Not Your Hearts Be Troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Jesus is saying, you know, he's trying to comfort his disciples and also comfort us in his word that, you know, that we have this blessed assurance that do not worry, that you have a mighty God, right? He who is in us is greater than that he is in the world. Amen. Okay, I've got a call that's been waiting for a couple minutes, so I'll take that call. Welcome to NoBetterWay.net. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Good, good. Good to hear from you, Dave. How you been?
Good, good. How you been?
Good. Working hard, working hard. Tonight's title show is Let Not Your Hearts Be Troubled. Comes from in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, where Jesus tells his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in Him." And then he also says also that he goes away to prepare a place for them. So you know that our faith in Jesus gives us that assurance of eternity, and then one day we'll be in heaven with the Father and the Son, and we're going to have this wonderful, heaven experience. But in the meantime, while we're on earth, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to get you through this. So
yeah, I mean, anyway, get us through the hard times, and then you look at it from both sides. I mean, like, some people will look at all the scrambled things happening in the world and be like, well, what's going on? Why do all these evil people get away with their evil? And having an eternal perspective, you realize that you don't have to let your hearts be troubled, because God will take care of it. And then knowing that he'll take care of things, perfect justice, that you can trust him with it, so you can have that peace. So not letting your heart be troubled over thinking that you have to get vengeance for yourself, but rather trusting on God, his perfect justice, to take place eventually.
Yeah. I don't. It's one of the most comforting words that Jesus, says in the Bible. He wants us not to be troubled. He wants us to have that peace. And I just think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the biggest weaknesses of people that gets exploited by the evil one, for sure, is fear and anxiety. And God says in the Bible like a zillion times, do not fear, do not fear. Cast your burdens on me, because he cares and he loves us, and because he cares for us. And, take our struggles and burdens, and Jesus will take them for us, and ultimately he took all of our sins and forgave us of them all through his death for us on the cross. So he cares for us so much that he's willing to die for us. So certainly he cares about our struggles as well.
Yeah. As my intro, I talked how Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit gives us, he calls it the counselor, the Spirit of Truth, and how it will, it'll help us to understand. We read God's word, and when we pray, we get filled with the Spirit, and, it gives us power and understanding, wisdom, and things that we wouldn't be able to do on our own. It's such a powerful, wonderful gift that God has given us, because without that Holy Spirit, we'd be dead.
Yeah, I mean, one of the persons of the Godhead, so the Holy Spirit is with us always. And when you accept Jesus, Savior, he comes to live inside of us. So it's an amazing thing to think about, that God lives inside of us once we receive Jesus as Savior. And that should be pretty comforting right there, when we feel alone or stressed or just broken by all the terrible things that happen in the world, that God not only is near to us, but he lives inside of us. That's amazing to think about.
Yeah. In John chapter 14, it's kind of like the chapter, in John that I've been focused on tonight. And as I go farther down, 14, verse 25, mm-hmm. It says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Like how you said before, fear not, do not be afraid.
Yeah, amen. I like that part where he doesn't give like the world gives, you know. The world will let us down over and over again, and people that are counting on how other people treat them or how the relationships are going or how things are going in their day-to-day life or at work, if they're counting on that for peace and comfort, then they're just going to get let down over and over again, you know. Once you accept that people are sinners, but God is the one that's perfect and offers perfect peace, and just trusting in him and kind of, I think, kind of remembering that, you know, we don't need things to go perfect in our life to have his peace if we're just focused on him as opposed to ourselves and our situations. And that's hard to do for sure. And we all need to pray to get better at that, changing our focus from on us to on God, and then we'll find the peace there.
Yeah, I'm you know, Dave, I'm sometimes you just you're starting to slide away, and there's a point where you're losing that peace. You're getting angry, you're getting frustrated, and pray to, you know, Holy Spirit would convict you and say, all right, you know, come on, you're going to make it. You don't need to fly off the handle, lose your temper, or say something you'll regret. You know, you just pray that Holy Spirit will convict you and guide you. Amen.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know, I think we spend so much time, you know, just beaten down because we're kind of weak in that area. Like I said, we go towards being fearful. We go towards being stressed. We go towards restlessness and frustration, anger, all that stuff. And, you know, God calls us away from that. And the way to do it is to focus on him. And I don't know, just almost somehow getting to a point where we're like, all right, this day is God's. And I work where he tells me to work. I have friends and family who he put in my life. I have neighbors who he put in my life, situations that he put into my life. And I'm just going to trust him with it. And I don't know. It's almost kind of like a freeing thing to think about. But I think the devil likes to keep us focused on being stressed and being fearful and all these other things, and beat us down over our sins, even though we're already forgiven of them. And it's almost like a total change. It almost sounds freeing just even talking about it. Like, hey, this day's not mine, it's God's. I'm just going to walk in it and trust him. It's almost like such a freeing thing because we're letting go of control. You know, we like to control our little worlds, and when things get messed up, we get stressed out, but it wasn't really ours to control in the first place.
Yeah. And sometimes I'm thinking of the Lord's timing, Dave. You know, like there's situations, Dave, that's probably going on in your life right now, and maybe you want things to happen quicker. You know, you have plans or dreams or things you're thinking about. You know, you want things to happen faster than they're happening. And you know, right now I'm trying to sell a house that's not selling. I'm working too many hours at work, and I'm trying to change things, and then I always have to think, well, maybe it's God's timing. Maybe it's, I have to just wait a while because, you know, Father knows best, you know.
Yeah, I think we all kind of want to plan out our lives, but, you know, really just walk where you are, where God places you, and, you know, and just kind of trust in him.
Yeah. There's another, I'm going to read another verse, and it's all about in this area in the Gospel of John. This is before Jesus went to the cross. And so, you know, Jesus knew where he was going, yet, you know, he you know, he was walking in the will of the Father and trusting in, you know, in the Father's will. And so, but he knew where he was going and the disciples didn't. So he was kind of trying to be an encourager. He was trying to bless the disciples and let them know that, you know, he's going to send the Holy Spirit, send them that gift when he goes away. And I love these words, and this is in John chapter 16, verse 33, Dave, mm-hmm. where he said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And did he overcome the world, Dave? What, the victory at the cross? I mean, when he was in the garden, you know, and you know, the agony of the garden, and you know, knowing where he was heading to Calvary, and you know, from the brutal beating he was going to take and the death on the cross, and yet in the end, you know, he overcame the world and the sin, the victory, you know, victory of over death at the end. So I mean, I love those words. I have overcome the world.
Yeah. It's just like, for Christians, we like live with a sense of victoriousness. I mean, we've already, our Savior's already won. So it's like, gosh, it still hurts when people die or when people hurt us and sin against us and just broken relationships and see all the terrible things happen all over the world. It's, still hurts to see all the evil going on in the world, and but these are little battlefield victories for evil, because the evil one and evil is already defeated, and we know how the Bible ends. Jesus comes victorious over all the evil and, you know, all those who rejected Christ and lived for themselves or for evil causes, and sadly for so many people will be in hell forever, and that's why it's such good news about Jesus, that he's so powerful, but he's also so loving. So loving that people don't even understand, why would God die and rise again? Why would he do that? Well, that's how much he loves people. He'd be willing to do that, and he desires for people to be saved. He desires that all be saved, and people would have to turn away from their sins, though, follow him, and then they're saved from all that. But like you said, there's comfort in knowing that Jesus already won. There's peace in our hearts from that. And we say, throw our hands up. All this evil happened in the world. There doesn't seem to be an answer. Well, there is an answer. His name's Jesus, and he already won. So.
Yeah. I listened to a preacher yesterday, and he says, "Why can't you pray?" You know, because he said, you know, he wants to share the gospel for all over the world. He says, why do we limit the power of God and what he can do? Why can't we pray that India would be converted to Christianity, or Russia, or whatever, anywhere that the gospel is, you know, very limited right now? And so. That power, you know, like the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. I mean, why can't we pray that, you know, why can't we have a faith that prays for these miracles? You know, the faith that we have is a miracle. Why can't we pray that the world would have that same miracle? So this preacher was just saying, you know, that this God, greater is he who is in us than is in the world. And, you know, don't limit our prayer. Don't limit our faith. Don't limit what God can do. So, you know, what I'm saying is that we as Christians, you know, didn't Jesus say that we would do great things through him, you know, in the name of Jesus? And so I think we need to have faith. We can pray, and, you know, God can do great things through us, Dave. I think we're limiting ourselves.
Sure. Yeah, we underestimate what God wants to do in our lives, and then we live small when God desires for us to have big faith and the desire for us to be used in big ways for his kingdom. And even, you know, even if we're not supposed to, even if Jesus didn't call us to be this big hero of the world, obviously that is Jesus, but even the small things we could do in our lives, just loving our families and neighbors and and coworkers like Jesus loves us and tell them about Jesus, that's a big thing in itself. So.
Sure, sure.
All right, I think I got to run, unfortunately.
Okay.
So.
That's okay, but no, I truly appreciate you calling in, Dave. It's a good subject for all the folks out there.
Yeah.
Let not your hearts be troubled. You've got a great God that loves you, and has plans for you. David, thank you again for calling in, and then we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. And I pray anyone out there will put their, find comfort in Jesus and believe in Him. And I know you like to pray for people, so if they have any prayer requests, I pray that they'll call in and talk to you about that as well. So you have a good night.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. Again, thank you for blessing the show tonight and calling in. Thank you.
All right.
Bye. Bye-bye. Okay, that was my son, Dave. He called in, and I appreciate him calling in. He always has good things to say, and he's always, the main focus is for others to know Jesus, to know the good news of the gospel, that through faith in Jesus Christ, right, you come to Jesus, you believe that he died for your sins, and you're sorry for your sins, put your faith in Jesus as your Savior, and say, I want to walk with you today and walk with you the rest of my life into eternity. You have eternal life. So anyone out there that's thinking about giving their life to Jesus, let today be your day of salvation. Amen. Come to him, right? It's not about getting yourself right and perfect and then coming to church and start becoming a Christian that way. No, it's come as you are. Come with your baggage. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. So just come as you are. Give your heart to Jesus. Confess your sins to him. He died for your sins. He died for mine. He died for the sins of the world. And 2 Peter 3:9, he wants none to perish, for all to come to faith. Amen. Let you be one of those tonight that are coming to faith, that if you're on the fence, let tonight be the night you jump off the fence and walk with Jesus. Amen. All right. The title of tonight's show, Let Not Your Hearts Be Troubled. And I pray that if you're going through a hard time tonight, or if something's going on that's making life difficult, a struggle, I pray that you may know that Jesus loves you. He cares about you. I pray that that you may know his peace, that the Holy Spirit will fill you, that you'll know his presence, that your faith will increase. So many times, folks, I'm a witness that when you're going through hard times, when you're going through loss, you lose a friend, or you may have some type of health issues going on. Maybe it's yourself or a loved one that's sick right now. They're in the hospital or they're struggling and you're worried about them, right? These are the times that you get on your knees and pray, right? And sometimes our hard times draw us closer to the Lord. And so I pray that if you are going through hard times, troubled times, that this will be a time where you draw closer to Jesus and lean on him and seek his strength, seek his healing, right? Seek his wisdom, right? How should I go? And I pray that you can just grow stronger in your faith and also draw nearer to Jesus, because he does love you dearly. And he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me also. He cares about you. All right. I will give that number out. Call-in number. I'd love for you to call in. Maybe you've got a blessing you want to share, or you want to just tell a story, or you've got a question. That number is 347-989-0095. Again, 347-989-0095. And I have a text number that you could text in. Either you might have a question that I'd love to answer, or you might have a prayer request. I'd love to pray for you. And that number is 630-674-4960. So I'd love for you to text in, and I'd do my best to answer. I do have one question, or maybe kind of a suggestion. My dear brother, Casey, you know, we are drawing every day closer to the return of Christ. And if you look at the crazy, wicked world with all the trouble, you know, we've got the, you know, the crazy weather going on. The earthquakes continue to increase. Wars all over the world. Christians are being persecuted immensely everywhere. Christians are being slaughtered, especially in Africa, in the Middle East. And so I truly believe that the signs are that we are drawing closer to the return of Christ. Every day we get closer. And so the book of Revelation talks about the end times, talks about the return of Christ. And it also talks about the coming Antichrist. This is a man of deception. Jesus called Satan, right? Didn't he call him a liar and a murderer? And he was a liar and a murderer since the beginning of time. And the Antichrist will have the spirit, well, the spirit of the Antichrist. He goes against the ways of Christ, where Jesus says, I have come that you may have life more abundantly. And Satan comes, right? And he is the ruler of this world right now, where he's taken over and the wickedness has ramped up and increased. And he is about, lies and deception and death, right? So this is a coming time. And I'm not here to prophesy, but I'm here to suggest that you should read the book of Revelation. It will tell you how things will start to happen. It'll give you a better understanding. And the one thing that Casey mentioned about the book of Revelation in his text was that that reading the book of Revelation would be a blessing. And it's right in the beginning of the book of Revelation, chapter 1, where it says in chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So, and then it, and this book goes on to describe how the coming plagues, the coming judgments, and talks about the two witnesses that will come prior to the return of Christ. And this book is a book of a lot of terrible times. Jesus said the end times will be times that the world has never seen before. But let not your hearts be troubled, folks, because you have Jesus Christ, right? You are saved in the blood of Jesus. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You have a dear Father in heaven that loves you, right? So let not your heart be troubled. You are empowered. Greater is he that is in you that is in the world. Amen. So I would say, folks, that anyone should read the book of Revelation. It'll show you and lead you to the end times that are coming. And as it says in chapter 1, verse 3 of Revelation, that it is a blessing to all that read it. So, and I'm thinking of the verse in Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So the more you know about God's word, right, the more you, when you read God's word, the Holy Spirit will fill you. It'll open your eyes, and it'll show you the truth. The world is a world of lies and deception. It might give you partial truth, but it's always about deception, and that anything in this world will never give you satisfaction. You'll never have complete peace, the peace of God that transcends all human understanding. That's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, the peace of God which transcends all human understanding, fill your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. So when you come to know God, when you come to know Jesus, and you're filled with the blessed Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit works in you. It opens your eyes. It opens your heart. And you begin to understand that the Word of God, this is the truth, right? And I want to know about it. So I'm telling you folks that reading God's Word, reading the book Revelation will be a blessing to you. Amen. Okay, Casey, I know that was quite an answer, a long answer, but I hope that that helped. So, and anyway, in a way, it was more of a suggestion than a question. But again, thank you, Casey, for that text. God bless you and keep you in his care. All right. Again, I'll give out that number, 347-989-0095. I'd love to have you call in. And, you know, maybe you just want to share a blessing. Maybe you want to just share how you got through troubled times, how the good Lord had gotten you through some really hard times. Some people of God came through, prayed for you, that going through those hard times, you grew in your faith, you drew closer to Jesus. So I'd love to hear if you have some type of testimony you'd love to share. Or you could, again, text in 630-674-4960. I'd love to do my best to answer a question, or if you have a prayer request. I have a friend, her name is Loli, and she has a sister, Tenshi, that's in the hospital, and she's been struggling with her health. So, dear Lord, I just pray for Tenshi that you would put your healing hands upon her, touch her and heal her, restore her. You love her, Lord, dearly. Her family loves her and cares about her. And I just pray, Lord, that your healing hands would be upon her and heal her and restore her health. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I'll give that number out one more time. 347-989-0095. I think what I'll do right now is I'm going to play a song. And then I'll be back to you to wrap up the show. That was a Revelation song. And we're talking a little bit about the book of Revelation. And it talks, with all creation, I will sing Christ is King of Kings. Jesus, your name is power. Breath and power, Christ is King of Kings. Amen. A powerful song. Well, we're kind of winding down here. I'm going to give one more shout out. I'd love to get a phone call before I wrap up the night. 347-989-0095. And I'm going to close out. I'm going to read a reading from Romans chapter 8. And it just goes to show you that, you know, that God is with us. He's all powerful. There's nothing that can separate the love between Jesus, our Lord, and us. So this is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, I will start with verse 31. It reads, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So there is nothing, right? Again, I'll read, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor any else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So my dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, nothing. We are empowered. We are followers. We're believers in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He died for our sins. We put our faith in him. With our repentant hearts, we follow him, right? And there's nothing. I mean, anything, angels or demons, anything that could take or separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. We may die, but in the end, right, absence in the body is presence with the Lord. So I say, do not let your hearts be troubled, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Do not let your hearts be troubled, for you have a loving God, a merciful God. He loves you dearly. He died for you. And there's nothing that can separate you from that love, right? You've been sealed. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You've been empowered. You can walk boldly. What does it say in 1 Timothy 1:7? I did not give you a spirit of timidity, but I've given you a spirit of power, of love, of discernment, right? So we can walk boldly with that power, right? That Holy Spirit power. We can walk boldly daily, putting on the full armor of Christ, battling the evil out there, the demons, the spirits, the false gods, anything that attacks our faith, we can battle with the full armor. And in that I say, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, folks. With that, I'm going to just kind of wind things down. I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'll play the final song. Praise you. In this storm. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time tonight. I pray for all hearts out there. Like you say, do not be troubled, right? Let not your heart be troubled. Those are Jesus' words talking to us. And I pray, Lord, that everyone would have a sense of peace in their faith in Jesus, a blessed assurance, an eternal assurance that we know that we've been sealed, right? That we are written in the book of life. Eternity is promised, right, for all those that put their faith in Jesus. And what a blessing, what a gift. We thank you for that, Jesus, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'd just like to say, dear friends out there, that you have a blessed night, a blessed week. Walk with God, and may the good Lord bless you and keep you and protect you. And in Jesus' name, amen. Good night, folks.
Got it.